Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I have a topic for you today. If you're over the age of 21, you can listen. Under the age of 21, parental advice or counsel suggested. We're going to talk intimately about sex, but from a different perspective, as always. We're going to talk about sex today, not sex in terms of performance or sex in terms of having a healthy sex life, meaning a functional sex organ for the rest of your life. We're going to talk about sex as it relates to health. Now, currently, modern medicine, urology, your urologists, we really don't have sex doctors, do we? We kind of have psychiatrists. If you've got a problem with your penis or your vagina, you talk to your OBG or your urologist. I think that's how really understated we are in modern medicine in terms of understanding what sexual function is about. At best, we understand it as, I almost cringe when I say this, as tension release. Some of you along the way have been counseled by your urologist. Men particularly are told sex is a great way to relieve stress and just keep going for as long as it lasts. And if it does, well, then you're lucky, and that's what your genes have decided, so on and so forth. And, of course, then we have Viagra, the solution to people who don't have that type of longevity that they used to have and that want, so on and so forth. But really, if you go back to the roots of holistic medicine, sex or sexual health, sexual strength, longevity was about health. And that opens up a whole different worldview. Now, the irony is, I don't know if I should use the word irony, but the reality today is that it's really the female and understanding the woman in ways that I think are going to surprise a lot of you that's really bringing holistic health as it relates to sexual function to the forefront. And that all revolves around the word clitoris. Yes, I know, bizarre, but nonetheless true. In fact, we have a woman. I tried to get her YouTube up today. It didn't work. Something happened with tech. We may get it up a little bit later. There's a woman named Sophia Wallace. And Sophia Wallace, if you go to the website, and if you're new to the show, get to the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, .cc. That's Straight Talk, two T's. And go to picture number four. There's a woman by the name of Sophia Wallace. And I wanted to have her YouTube up today. There's a great YouTube clip on her. When you get a chance, go to YouTube and Google that name. You're looking at the name Sophia Wallace. And she's coined a phrase, or at least popularized a phrase, called clitoracy. C-L-I-T-E-R-A-C-Y, clitoracy. And her theme is that this all-important, and it is, all-revealing aspect of a woman's anatomy as it relates to the whole concept of sexual health has been grossly overlooked, just missed, by and large, by the medical community over the last, 2,000 years? Certainly the last 200 years. And yes, all the way up to today. So this is a woman, I think a very brave young lady, a name you need to know, Sophia Wallace. Perhaps before the end of the show, we'll have that YouTube clip up. In any event, Sophia Wallace, and there we go, my outstanding tech team. There it is. If you just refresh your screen, make sure you do. There's a YouTube clip. up right now called Clitoracy, the 100 Natural Laws, a conversation with Sophia Wallace. And what I want you to do is just take a couple of minutes here. Join me if you can. If not, just bear with me. I'll try to mouth it along the way. But a conversation with Sophia Wallace about what she means by clitoracy. And what I did was, in the pictures, picture one, picture three, picture four, picture five, picture six, picture seven, is it they're kind of like buttons or little pamphlets that she makes. Each one is a different law, pointing to what she calls clitoracy. And when we get into this, you're going to see really the purpose and absolute importance of what this woman has provided us with and its relationship to the show today. So let's open this YouTube on clitoracy. It's going to stay with you a short minute. And you want to move to, if you bear with me, move to 1 minute and 7 seconds into the show. So just keep clicking it. You guys know how to work the YouTube, of course. Just click it till you get a minute seven, and they're just doing a brief interview with her. And what she's saying right now is that she's absolutely baffled by the fact that when you're watching women and their sexual organs depicted, they don't even include the clitoris. And if they do, they include the head of the clitoris. That the clitoris is an infinitely larger organ that's almost as large as a penis. And that traditionally, from Freud on, this has been overlooked. And that it was overlooked was so curious to her because it was essentially the whole essence of how a woman defines her experience sexually. Now, this contrasted, and you can turn it off now. Just get into that later. Just wanted to get you to at least view that. Take a look at her, normal, healthy, intelligent, literate, educated female. Point being that from Freud had this thing about penetration. And again, I bring up Freud because Freud and psychology and psychiatry was really in Western medicine our introduction into, okay, how are we going to break this thing down about sex, sexual repression, sexual frigidity, sexual promiscuity, how in fact it relates to disease, in fact. Sexual repression is a source of disease. Remember, Freud's protege, Reich, and I've mentioned him many times on these shows, Reich had much to say about sexual repression. Mesmer had much to say about sexual repression as it relates to health. Now, this goes all the way down to, let's go to picture number, where is it here? Picture number, I guess we didn't get that one either. The book, Physician and Sexuality in Victorian America, J. Holler and Holler. That's the Physician and Sexuality in Victorian America. J. Holler and Holler. In the late 1800s, a woman would present to a medical doctor, issues being headaches, issues being some problem with the head as it relates to fainting, heat to the head, headaches, migraines, heart palpitations. Now, they didn't point out that she wore a corset in Victorian America. They went straight to sexual repression, meaning impure thoughts. This is the turn of the century. This is in a book, The Physician and Sexuality in Victorian America. And actually perform clitorectomies. Women in leading universities, medical hospitals, connected with the intelligentsia of the day, at the end of the 1800s, 1890s, so on and so forth, having the clitoris is cut out. We've gone from that gamut all the way from clitorectomies at the end of the 1800s to Sophia Wallace today. And that arc is the arc to follow. The anatomy of today, and I put some pictures up. Go to picture number 11. This is what Miss Wallace has an issue with. picture number 11. This is what you see and experience as a representation of the female anatomy. Always we get the uterus, because that's where babies are born. Always we get the ovaries. Always we get the vagina. Why the vagina? Well, that's where orgasms come from, the vagina. A woman is penetrated by a penis, and she's rubbed, and magically we have this vagina. And this is what Miss Wallace is pointing out isn't true, that the vast majority of orgasms or sexual experiences by females are because of stimulation of the clitoris. And not a lot of them are through penetration. Now, what does this have to do with health? It has everything to do with health. And our misunderstanding of this as orgasm, as a woman's sexual apparatus, all the way down to not even understanding the anatomy of the clitoris, has had grave consequences for us, something that Ms. Wallace et al. Are going to make a shift in the American consciousness. So there it is, picture number 11. Typical of your representation, where's the clitoris? And even if they put the clitoris in, this is how it's presented. Go to picture number 15. Now that is what most men, if they even have an understanding of the clitoris, that is what most women, if they even have an understanding of the clitoris, are going to understand as the clitoris. There it is. Picture number 15. Just go to it, blow it up. And look at the female anatomy. There's a clitoris. Below it's the urethral opening. You urinate out of that space. The labia minora, that's the small labia, the lips. The labia majora, those are the large lips. The lips that protect the small lips, that protect the vaginal canal, very close to the anus. That vagina is close to the anus. That's where women get cut. You can get the sense of, during birth, what the ramifications are of those episiotomies that we do routinely. I mean, giving birth to a healthy child without getting cut, without going cesarean, without tearing, without having an episiotomy, is even in itself, at best, enormously exhausting to the female. And after she births 2, 3, 4 children, I mean, we really have to take a look at that. But when you go in there and then you cut that, or it tears all the way to the anus, it guts the woman energetically. We say that the channels of energy that run from that space there between the vagina and the anus, a perfect representation, up the front of the body, down the back, so on and so forth, we say that those channels become extremely exhausted or blocked. And this has lots of physiological ramifications. So this is a really important picture here to understand. Now, the key, what's relevant to our discussion today. Look at the representation of that little clitoris there. Now I want you to take a look at what the clitoris really and truly looks like. This is going to blow your mind, and I know a bunch of you have never seen this before. Go to picture number 16. That is a clitoris. Picture number 16. Look at that. The clitoral body, the glands of the clitoris, the corpus cavernosum, the crus of the clitoris, the bulbs, the clitoral bulbs. These things get engorged with blood. And that little head there is only the tip of the iceberg. You really got to take that in. I am sure, I am certain, many of the females in the listening audience today did not know this. I am certain of this. We're going to start the first of my 3 seminars tomorrow on sexual health and what sex is as it relates to health, the anatomy and physiology of the orgasm, the anatomy and physiology of ejaculation, male and female, understanding the prostate, understanding the clitoris. Different ways, can't get into it on the show today, but different ways of extending the strength and health of the sexual life, nutritionally, structurally, psychologically, The sexual entity is filled with tons of misconceptions. And we are breaking them down today. That's why I make such a harp on Sophia Wallace. Because she's one of the women at the forefront of actually doing this. And I think she's hit a very user-friendly, easy way. Just starting with the anatomy. We think if we even put the clitoris in female anatomy pictures, we just put the head of it, the tip of it. Look at the size of it. Clitoris goes back deep about 9 centimeters. That's 4 inches. A clitoris is as big as a flaccid penis. Assuming a flaccid penis is 3 or 4 inches. Some are less, some are more. But the point is, clitorises are huge, and they become blood-engorged, and we don't see that. We only see the tip. Big mistake to only see the tip. Concept. The clitoris has 8,000 nerve endings. 8,000 nerve endings. The penis has 4,000 nerve endings. There is a massive difference between the neurological sophistication of the clitoris relative to a penis. And at the expense of the clitoris, what we've done traditionally from Freud on is substitute the sophistication of the sexual act, of sexual pleasure, of those entities as it relates to human health. And there's a big hookup there we'll get into. What we've done is we've sacrificed our understandings of this, and we've substituted it with just penetration, vaginal penetration, that in fact, health, sexual pleasure, orgasm is a penis inside a vagina. And this is completely and totally missing the point. Because the clitoris is what's neurologically intelligent. The vagina relative to the clitoris has no intelligence. What's happening, and what you have to understand is some, I want you to check the anatomy out. Look at picture 15 again, and I'll explain this hookup. In some women, the clitoris is very close to the vaginal canal. There's a proximity. So that if the size of the head of the clitoris and the position is close enough to the vaginal canal and the penis fits a certain way, the clitoris is stimulating during vaginal penetration, and on that basis, orgasm is sustained clitorally. This doesn't always happen. Usually it doesn't happen. Often it doesn't happen. And that can be as simple as the anatomy of the female, something that very few men understand. Something that very few women understand. Something that women intuitively understand because they experience often the differences between clitoral stimulation and vaginal stimulation. But this is not talked about. It's not laid open upon the table. That's our job today, to start to give insight into the differences here. Let's take a look at this now. Go to picture number 19. Now, there's picture number 19. There's the clitoris as it lives in the body. Okay, so you're looking at a female, and you're actually in this picture, you're looking at a female from the top. Actually, excuse me, not from the top. You're looking at a female on her back, the pelvic bones just spread. And what you're looking at, glans clitoris, that's the part of the clitoris that sometimes gets stimulated by the male. And that fills with blood. But you see, the point is, those cruces of the clitoris, attached part of corpus cavernosus. So look at the cruce of the clitoris, attached part of corpus cavernosus. And again, this is picture number 19. That corpus cavernosus, do you see the little circle up at top, body of clitoris cross-section? You see what they did? They cut it in half, and you see it's spongy. It's spongy just like the male corpora cavernosa in the male. Same thing. I want you to get this. Go to picture number 17 now. No, better yet. Yeah, go to picture 17. So we're looking at picture number 17, and then we're looking at picture 19. Just look at 17. You don't even need to blow it up. Look at the corpus cavernosum of the penis and the right and left cruce of the penis. Now compare that to picture number 19. The cruce and the corpus cavernosus of the clitoris. And you can understand now, they're basically the same organs. This is where Miss Wallace is so correct. We're leaving out the entire, so to speak, penis of the female as we illustrate her in anatomy, as we talk about her, as we talk about it, as we talk about the sexual act. The entire span and context and scope of our understanding of what the female is completely missed. The essence of it. I mean, suppose a male was understood as simply the tip of the penis. And they, in both cases, we call it the glans, G-L-A-N-S, glans clitoris, or the glans of the penis. The head of the penis is the glans, G-L-A-N-S, analogous to the clitoris. And suppose we understood the male as simply that little head. Now you understand the depth of the mistake here. Why is it such a mistake? Well, we're going to get to that. I'm not even going to talk about this from the standpoint of pleasure. Okay? Males thinking that female ejaculation is a matter of jamming it inside a vaginal canal are missing the point. Now, yes, to an extent we understand it, but doesn't it make a difference when you can actually see it in the physical anatomy? I mean, look at that. Look at that. And our anatomy books don't do this justice. So go back to picture number 16, and let's just take a little look at picture 16 again. You've been there already. Just take a look at that. That's the full female equipment. 8,000 nerve endings, at least double what the male has. What do you think the orgasm's like for a female? Well, one thing we know is, for many, it goes on and on and on and on. Here's another thing. As a woman ages, the clitoris gets bigger and bigger and bigger. It is legion in sexology to understand that a female, as she ages, will have deeper orgasms. As men go off after the age of 60 into weaker and weaker levels, women are actually designed to go into stronger, deeper, and more powerful levels. And one of the reasons is the clitoris is getting bigger. Try that one on for size. And we don't know this. I mean, women experience this. Women will say this. But do they know it in their physiology? See? Lots of women will say, well, perhaps not lots, but it's common enough for women to say, as I got older, it got better. And this has been dished off as, well, I got to know who I was, and I got to understand what love versus force was, so on and so forth. I got to get on the other side of all the hoopla and misconceptions about it, and into my fourth decade then, I began to get comfortable enough to experience me in the process. Okay, got that one. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the clitoris, the organ, is getting bigger. That is really, really something to take a look at. I'm going to get to the guys, all right? We can't do in 60 minutes the full span on this, but I'm going to have a lot to say. I think enough to say. And if this really interests you, 714-850-1007. 714-850-1007. I've got 20 people tomorrow. I could fit one or two more without it getting too crowded. Call that number. We're going to do a full 7 hours on this. Graphics, exercises, all sorts of neat stuff. A lot more science than I can stuff into 60 minutes today. That's 714-850-1007. Call, sign up. I've got one to two more slots. Picture number 10. Look at that. And that's a lot of coverage in 100 years. That's a lot of ground to cover. Look at that. That's a blow-up. 2014, it's a blow-up of the full organ of the clitoris. Look at that. Think of the ventricular system of the brain. I want you to do that. The ventricular system of the brain. I didn't put a picture of it. I know you've seen it so many times on this show that you can picture that pumping ventricle of the brain. Now look at that. Ask yourself, ladies, ask yourself, from that picture there to the ventricular system of the brain, to the endorphins that are produced when the two start to communicate each other, to the shift of consciousness that can occur when those two organ systems, the clitoral system and the ventricular system, are talking to each other. Gee, is it a surprise that most of what gets attracted to holistic medicine is female? It's not a surprise to me. There is a whole other level of neurological equipment at work here. And that level of neurological equipment has been largely denied us. This is why you got to get to know clitoracy. I think it's a huge and real important topic. Now, how does it relate to health? You know who nailed this? Ayurvedic medicine nailed this. Chinese medicine nailed this. All cultures have understood the relationship of health to sexuality and vice versa. Look at picture number 20. It's called The Tao of Sexology by a guy named Dr. Stephen Chang. Get that book. Take a look at it. Fascinating. Fascinating what that act is about as it relates to health. Why? Well, you got your hint off the clitoris. Now we're going to start the show. Half an hour into it, that's the setup. We're going to start the show. Because if you really understand how the cult of history has denied us an understanding of the full organ, sensitivity, power, sophistication of the clitoris, if you're going to really just use your common sense, your intuitive faculty, to understand that the clitoris is the ventricular system of the brain down low, and that the two are talking to each other, and that the transmission neurologically from the clitoris down below through the spine into the brain are what defines consciousness, which is the endorphin system, which is the opiate system, which is it. I'm going to use that name again, as Candace Pert, as neuroscientists point out, that opiate system is how you find bliss through your organ systems. Yeah, it says that basically if there's relationship, I'm just going to use the clitoris now. I mean it in the broader context of lovemaking, not sex. Not Gijo, a wonderful release of tension last night with a good deep orgasm. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the act of love. I'm talking about, as Reich understood it, as Reich expressed it, the act of love culminating in a bodily orgasm, something I think not enough people have had experience of. And I'm talking about that. And the relationship between the neurological sophistication of the clitoris and the ventricular system of the brain, and then the opiates that are produced, the endorphins that are produced through the hormones like oxytocin that revolve around that orgasmic release, and that neuroscientists understand the opiates produced are critical. Not the soul, but critical tool at displacing the negative imprints into the organs. When your organ goes dead, as it relates to the emotional imprint you've suffered from, anger to the liver, grief to the lung, worry to the spleen, fear to the kidney. All the sexual indiscretions, sexual improprieties, sexual misconceptions, prostate, testicle, uterus, ovary, cervix, actually represent, in neuroscience, chemicals that find receptor sites in these organs that reduce optimal physiology. Optimal physiological, immunological, endocrine function that ultimately explain the pathology, the pathogenesis of the disease. We understand it as disease. A histologist, a pathologist, views a diseased organ after a symptom gets reported to a doctor at one of our hospitals. And back to that, then, we throw it out, we cut it out, we drug it, so on and so forth. We don't need to get into that. The point is, before that symptom creates a dysplasia, a metaplasia, an anaplasia, a pathology, a chronic symptomology, the point is, knock out that chemical, those sets of chemicals that depress optimal organ function, and replace them with a flush of opiates, driven off a coherency in lovemaking, et al., between that highly charged, highly sophisticated organ, debased and marginalized by the history of our culture, elevate it to its true status, give it its experience and its potential, and then send it up to the brain. In other words, blow out the top of your head through orgasm. And your body's equipped to do that. That is what that ventricular system is doing there. And that is what the clitoris is capable of generating, not just for the female, but in union with the male. I don't know about you, but that's where I think, in part, I think that's where God lives. I like to go to the body. I like to see the physiology optimize through the things that are put there that we look at, that we've misunderstood, that we finally illuminate, and then that we begin to open whole new worlds to, doors of perception. And the Taoists understood this, the Tao of sexology. A group of people, the Chinese Taoists, they were sort of like the anarchists of China. Their law was natural law. Their god was the god they found in nature. In Vedic medicine, Ayurvedic medicine, so now we move to India. But the American Indian was no different. The South American was no different. The Vikings were no different. The Teutons, the Saxons, the Celts, the ancient Latins, the ancient Egyptians, all cultures have understood this. All cultures have their variation of this. Believe me, Cleopatra understood this, even if she didn't write books about it. Anyone that has lived in accordance with natural law, with nature, has understood this. And to some of you listening today, what I'm talking about is nothing new. Perhaps I define it a little more for you. But essentially, in your experience, it's nothing new. Okay. Let's get to a couple of concepts here. Few more concepts. Let's tie in a bit more. Okay. Let's look at picture number 25. Let's look at picture number 25. There's the brain and the spinal cord. And there are all these nerves coursing from the brain down the spinal cord. And some of these nerves are actually on the bottom. They're coming off the sacrum. You may have to blow that up. It's worth blowing up. We're going to be here for a few minutes. If we blow that up, S2, S3, S4 on the bottom of the spinal cord, that's the sacrum. Now, we're not looking at the bones. We're looking at representations of bones. I'm going to show you the bone, the sacrum, in a moment. Lots of you know what that bone is, your backbone. That triangular thing just at the bottom, just above your coccyx, has nerves coming out of it. Those nerves go to the penis, the shaft, the scrotum, the prostate. They go to the uterus. They go to the ovaries. They go to the vagina. They go to the clitoris. And those nerves are part of a bigger system called the autonomic nervous system, which carry both sympathetic and parasympathetic. If you look at this picture, up at the top now, the innervation of the parasympathetic division on one side of the body, the parasympathetic nerves. Out of your sacrum come the highway. Out of your sacrum comes the highway of nerves that course to, now this is men and women, of course, the penis and the vagina, the clitoris, so on and so forth, the prostate. Issue. First issue. That sacrum, now I want you to go to picture 26. Look at picture 26. That sacrum, that backbone, and you've heard me rant about this endlessly. I'm going to keep ranting because it's appropriate. That sacral bone gets fixated. Fixation through the facet joints. So take a look at that. Fixation of the facet joints. So we're getting into the structural problems that destroy sexual pleasure. But that's health. Because a fully coherent sexual function extends from down low to your brain. And those opiates that are produced, only some of which we measure, have everything to do with coursing or shifting or transmuting the coherency, minimizing the static through which the autonomic nerve systems, the parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous system, delivers its intelligence to the cell. That is not hocus-pocus talk. That is the future of medicine. And if that L5-S1, if that sacrum through the facet joints are glued together, we even have orthopedic diagnoses called facet syndromes. It's one of the many, many examples, orthopedically, structurally, neuroanatomically, of the downfall, the decay of a process that we should all be enjoying well into our 80s and 90s. That's big. It's a big concept. That sacrum gets fixated into L5. Now, why? Well, again, another favorite rant of mine. Go to picture 28. If you're new to the show and you're driving, I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. When you get home, get on that website, straighttalk.cc. That's two T's, not .com.cc. If this conversation today is of interest to you, tomorrow, between 11 and 6, my office here in Costa Mesa. Call the number 714-850-1007. We have a full 20 people. Come to that if it interests you. Call the number, talk to my office staff, and we'll see you tomorrow. I have a couple of spots left. We're going to spend 7 hours on this topic in detail. A lot more of the details. Details you can't get on radio. But look at this picture now. This is picture number 28. That green, that's the psoas muscle. That psoas muscle does a funny thing over time. That psoas muscle, look at picture 27 now. That psoas muscle, see that picture on the left, the psoas? That psoas is too short. Picture on the right is a healthy psoas. That's a flexible psoas. That's a psoas that lengthens. That's the psoas of an athlete. That's a psoas that has the right tone. When that psoas gets short, it pushes forward. As it pushes forward, you see the way the slope in the low back has changed? Look at picture 27. Look at the picture on the left and the picture on the right. And you see how the picture on the left, the low back has that slope. The rib cage is pointing down. There's a hunch in the low back. The head has come forward. That's not you at 20. That's not you on your wedding day. That's not you when you were captain of the football team. That's you on the right. You on the left is you after 50. If you're 70, 75, if you're 60, you're there already. Or you're headed towards there at 45. Point is that psoas displaces, the sacrum begins to get fixated. That's picture number 26. Those facet joints jam up into each other. And what happens? What happens is the pump, the sacral pump, the stretching, the shifting, the lengthening of the parasympathetic nervous system doesn't get massaged into your organ. Men, especially men, suffer from this. Women, because of the estrogen, tend to be more flexible. Men tend to get more rigid there, but women also. Both sexes, after the age of 40, begin to experience a structural deficit, structural static, because of anterior psoas displacement, the solution of which has been on my show so many times. Get flexible if you know what flexibility is. If you don't, listen to my shows. Get flexible and aligned. Shift your center of gravity. We'll be talking in part about this tomorrow, in part about lots of things I haven't talked about before. But the point is, you have to have flow in that sacral area to pulse the parasympathetic nerve. The parasympathetic supply through the pumping of the sacrum, denied as we age, is what controls blood engorgement of the entire corpora or cavernosa of the penis and of the entire glands and cavernosa of the clitoris. You don't fill with blood down there if you get fixated. Important to understand. Now, biochemically, we've got issues with this too. Biochemically, men, women, we run into problems. The estrogen you circulate and the testosterone you circulate is part of how you get engorged down there. How you get blood filled down there. The mind can kick in if it does, and that's a whole other discussion. But if the mind's there, getting blood filled down there is also a biochemical, not just a structural issue. You need the pulse of the parasympathetic nervous system. Definitely you need the pulse of the parasympathetic nervous system. But you also need the chemistry. That chemistry revolves around adequate supplies of estrogen and adequate supplies of testosterone. First big killer of testosterone, especially with men, is insulin. This is huge. To understand, if you're diabetic, no, you're not diabetic. You don't know that unless you do the glucose tolerance test. So don't just say you're not diabetic until you know what your postprandial glucose is and where your blood sugar is living for most of the day and most of the night. Don't just trust this ridiculously superficial blood sugar test, fasting blood sugar in the morning, to tell you whether or not you're insulin resistant or circulating way too much insulin or hyperglycemia throughout the day. Don't trust that superficial test. At least do a glycosylated hemoglobin, but more importantly, through the day, know for the most part where your blood sugar is. Because if you're up over 100 all day, you're working against, gentlemen, testosterone production. Less so here for the ladies. Testosterone is seriously, seriously counterproductive to testosterone production. That's huge. Sleep. Having an adequate supply of adrenaline. Not being either cortisol deficient or not having cortisol go too high. The glandular load the biochemical load to ejaculation is massive. Meaning, if you're deficient, if you're not getting your rest, the amount of testosterone you produce will suffer. Per unit ejaculation, you are losing a phenomenal amount of blood and hormone. Your levels drop proportional to the amount that you ejaculate. Men are taught that it's okay to ejaculate to exhaustion. As long as it works, ejaculate. And the load, in other words, the damage that you do to the Sertoli cell of the testicle, as you squeeze the juice out of it, the damage you do to your adrenaline supply, which is also part of testosterone production. The adrenal cortex produces 10 to 15% of your testosterone. That's a lot of testosterone. Same thing with estrogen. You back up the amount of available free circulating testosterone through the adrenal cortex. So exhausting your adrenals, not recharging the adrenals, going to not just adrenal fatigue, but going into adrenal exhaustion will decrease the testosterone. We're going to say a few words about the sympathetic nervous system and inability for females to orgasm, the sympathetic nervous system and premature ejaculation, the sympathetic nervous system and inability to fill the penis with blood. But that's more in the psychosomatic aspect of the health, in the purely chemical aspect of it. If the testicle does not have the support of the adrenal cortex, it's going to hurt your testosterone level, and your testosterone level is critical to engorgement of the penis. You strengthen the adrenals through sleep. Enough said. Listen to my shows on sleep. Insulin. Enough said. Here's one you don't normally think in terms of, and that is muscle mass. The more muscle you make, the more you stress your tissue, the more testosterone you'll produce. To make muscle, so that the testicles will fall asleep. Yeah, to some extent, if you don't use it, you'll lose it, is actually true. If you overuse it, you'll lose it. As always, it's balance. In Taoist traditions, in I think more refined traditions as it relates to sexual health, a man is trained to feel the point at which he should not have another ejaculation. It's not a little thing, that's a big thing. When you consider well into their 30s and 40s, men are ejaculating sometimes 3 to 4 to 5 times per day, only to find male menopause waiting at 50 or 60 and being hardly disappointed. If you burden the cells, the Sertoli cells in the testicles that produce the testosterone, if you burden them, they will become senescent. They will fall asleep. They will die. They will either kill themselves and you will lose the cells. There will be less functional cells in the testicles because you burned them out. Because you're ejaculating wantonly. Yet to some extent, when grandma, when the church said to masturbate was wrong, was counterproductive, as they would have put it in some groups, sinful. Well, in a sense, it wasn't far from the truth, because what you use then, you don't have later, because effectively what you're doing is you're burning out your system, and wiser systems of health have taught men traditionally when to stop. As a rule of thumb, and it's as a rule of thumb, it would have counseled men after the age of 40 not to ejaculate, lose their seed more than once per week, twice per week at the age of 30. But more than anything, because these numbers vary, so don't quote me or any of these books, because in essence, they'll all tell you how these numbers vary. Bottom line, there's a feeling upon ejaculation that if you were sensitive, would have cued you to when you were beyond a reasonable level of exhaustion, when relaxation shifts into exhaustion. You were starting to destroy vital tissue in the testicle. More specifically, you were burning out the Sertoli cell. The Sertoli cell are the cells in the testes that produce the sperm. Now, females suffer less from this. The females suffered from ignorance, at least in Western culture, of what the entire equipment is. I mean, it's bizarre that right up to present, we could be so innocent and ignorant of this. This is why I think this woman has done us a great justice, not just her, but others. When you look at the arc from physician and sexuality in Victorian America in the 1800s, those were clitorectomies done in the name of science. Some groups today are still doing clitorectomies. I can tell you, and some of my colleagues have gone to China, this is mainland China, and talked to women about orgasm, lectured on orgasm, only to find half, 60% of the females in mainland China have never had one, that don't even know what it is, let alone to understand the full depth of the clitoris. Bizarre that it relates so integrally to help. And no, don't misunderstand. A good deep orgasm as a stress relief, as stress release, yes. This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. Nothing whatsoever. I'm talking about expanding your concept of a genital orgasm into one that goes all the way up inside your brain and expands the corpuscles of the brain, specifically the ventricular system of the brain. This is something to explore. This is something to experience. This is something to understand the chemistry of. This is something to understand the structure of. Now, another biochemical issue as it relates to male and female, again, somewhat more with the male, and that is blocked arteries. Those arteries that go to the penis. Those arteries that go to the clitoris, the full clitoris, can get plugged up with plaque. High insulin, pro-inflammatory cytokines, ultimately we start to precipitate calcium and fatty plaque in these little arteries. Why are we not understanding this? We understand plugged arteries to the eye. We understand plugged arteries to the heart. We may understand plugged arteries to the kidney. But if we were really going to go into it, we'd find that blood supply to, just on the basis of occlusion through the arteries to the penis, to the arteries of the full clitoris, as we age, they become plaqued, fatty and calcifically. Now, you don't go to your doctor to get this figured out. This is in part of your physical each year at Kaiser. But this is, in fact, in dissection, what happens. Not to mention visceral fat. When we say visceral fat, we mean that these organ systems from the prostate to the penis to the clitoris become fat encased. There's fat there. Those fatty tissues block structurally. They provide a structural compression to blood flow, not to mention the plaquing that occurs off and off the high insulin, not being countered because of the hormonal backup, because you don't have the hormone. And what you have as you age is a syndrome. There's a complexity from structural to psycho-emotional to biochemical of decay to these areas down low. just when wisdom prevails. This is the irony of it. By the time you're 40, 45, 50, 55, 60, you've gotten on the other side, hopefully, of your mommy, daddy garbage, of the things that you had to learn to let go of the people you've had to learn to forgive, and you're ready to relax behind something that can provide such a boon to your health at a time when you really need it. And now this myriad, this triage of complex entities, not just nutritional, not just psychological, not just structural, have all coalesced down, and they destroy the act. Now the Ren and Du meridians, they are the lines of energy that go up the spine and down the back. And they all intersect between the vaginal canal and the anus, between the base of the scrotum and the anus. There's a channel through the spine that needs to strengthen through these acts. And that demands a structural, a biochemical, a psycho-emotional integrity, coherency, a patency, so that the act becomes full. So when you go down and you look at books like The Tao of Sexology, this is one of a number of books. I've mentioned others. There's Man Talk Chia. Any of these books in Tantra, in Kundalini, and so on and so forth, they're all effectively giving their own spin on the same thing. It's not a cult. It's not wacky. It's not unscientifically based. It is highly experiential, meaning if you do this stuff, you get stronger. If you do this stuff, you last longer. If you do this stuff into your 60s and 70s, you start to experience deeper levels of pleasure and health. This is the thing. You can't pull the nervous system out of the health of the cell, where a cell en route to disease will go apoptotic, meaning it will kill itself, senescent, meaning it'll just sit there like an invalid, or malignant, whether it goes that way as your reserve energies dwindle, whether it goes that way requires the parasympathetic, sympathetic nervous system to reinforce, to strengthen the vibration of health. And I've overtalked myself. We missed that one minute warning.
Listening to Straight Talk on
we'll see you next week. That's 714-850-1007. We'll see you next week.
Website,
maybe we'll see you tomorrow.
Talk.cc.
Bye-bye.
He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.